Testing in the House chamber, Legislative Day 21.
The House will come to order. Members will take their seats. Visitors will retire from the chamber. The Sergeant-at-Arms will close the doors. Members and visitors will please silence all electronic devices. Today's prayer will be offered by Representative Dixon. Members and visitors in the gallery, please stand for the prayer and remain standing for the Pledge of Allegiance. Representative Dixon's recognized. I'm sorry, excuse me. You go ahead, Representative Dixon.
Our kind Father in heaven, we pause for a moment to begin this House session of the North Carolina General Assembly with a prayer of gratitude for the opportunity to serve the people of our great state. We thank Thee for the founding fathers of our state and nation, and for the inspired founding documents they formulated to establish our constitutional republic. We thank Thee for these magnificent facilities provided for us from the revenue received from our hard-working taxpayers. We thank Thee for those who work to keep this facility and the grounds clean and beautiful. We acknowledge and appreciate the hard work of the principal clerk and his excellent staff. We're thankful for our sergeant-at-arms and the security staff here in the General Assembly. We're blessed by the diligent efforts of all General Assembly staff, and we thank Thee for their faithful service. Please bless us today that our efforts will be pleasing to Thee and beneficial to those we serve. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Representative Dixon is recognized.
Mr. Speaker, the journal for March the 2nd has been examined and found to be correct. I move that it be approved as written.
Representative Dixon moves that the journal for March 2nd be approved as written. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it, and the journal is approved as written. Introduction of bills and resolutions. The clerk will read.
Representatives Kidwell, Hannock, Goodwin, and Setzer, House Bill 197, NC Constitutional Carry Act.
Judiciary 3, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives McNeely, Green, Dixon, and Strickland, House Bill 198, Forest Service Changes.
Agriculture, if favorable, Judiciary 2, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representative Mills, House Bill 199, Mooresville Tourism Development Authority Change.
Local Government, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Adams, Baumgartner, Hannock, and Willis, House Bill 200, Lifetime Concealed Handgun Permit.
Judiciary 3, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representatives Arp, Stevens, Broder, and Willis, House Bill 201, Academic Alignment Certain School Units.
Education K-12, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House.
Representative Penny, House Bill 202, School Calendar Flexibility, Harnett County.
Education K-12, if favorable, rules, calendar, and operations of the House. Notices and announcements. For what purpose is the gentleman from Duplin, Representative Dixon, arise?
For an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Recognized for an announcement.
Mr. Speaker, Republicans will caucus at 10:30 in room 643.
For what purpose is the gentleman from Beaufort, Representative Kidd, will arise?
For an announcement, Mr. Speaker.
Gentleman's recognized for an announcement.
The Freedom Caucus will meet. Yesterday I misspoke and said 1 o'clock. It's for 11:30 today or directly after the Republican caucus in 2226.
Further notices and announcements. If none, without objection, the chair declares that the House will stand in recess subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1 until 2:30 p.m.
Our motion to the chair, House Bill 71, Living Donor Protection Act. The serial referral to Committee on Rules Counter Operation of the House is stricken, and serial referrals to the Committees on Insurance, if favorable rules counter operations of the House are added, the bill remains in finance. Representatives Dixon and McNeely are recognized to send forth an Agricultural Committee report. House Bill 137, Steve Troxer, Agricultural Sciences Center, favorable committee sub, unfavorable to original bill and re-referred. Original bill placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 137 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House. Representative Dixon and McNeely are recognized to send forth an Agricultural Committee report. House Bill 121, clarify EQIP funding requirements, favorable committee sub, unfavorable to the original bill and re-referred. The original bill be placed on the unfavorable calendar, whereas the committee substitute for House Bill 121 will be re-referred to the Committee on Rules, Counter, and Operations of the House.
The House will come back to order. Representative Hall, recognized, sent forth committee report. Clerk will read.
Representative Hall, Rules Calling Operations of the House Committee Report. House Bill 67, GSC Technical Corrections, 2021, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 76, Modernized Debt Settlement Prohibition, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 107, DES COVID Modification Technical Changes, favorable.
Calendar for tomorrow.
House Bill 118, Students, Parents, Community Rights Act, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 128, Increased Access to Sporting Venues in Schools, favorable.
Counter Percent Rule 36B.
House Bill 137, Steve Troxler, Agricultural Science Center, favorable.
Calendar for today.
House Bill 27, In-Service Training Magistrates, favorable committee substitute number 2, unfavorable committee substitute number 1.
Calendar pursuant to Rule 36B. House Bill 196, the clerk will read.
Representatives Faircloth, Bumgardner, Kyle Hall, and Strickland, House Bill 196, a bill to the entire act to make modifications to COVID-19 relief legislation and to provide additional appropriations for the expenditures of federal COVID-19 pandemic relief funds. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Forsyth, Representative Lamb, recognize to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and thank you, colleagues. We appreciate the indulgence yesterday as we worked through a number of amendments to try to make this bill a little better. I know there are a few today, but I wanted just to share a few comments. I don't feel the need to go through the bill in detail. It's a long bill, but we will be available to answer any questions. But I do want to share a few comments. Yesterday was a little hectic, and we tried to deal with as many of those as we could. You know, this is the next COVID bill and a sequence of COVID bills that we've been dealing with going back to last year. We do anticipate there will be more COVID work this session. There'll be more COVID provisions, and there'll be more COVID money. So just because we're here today dealing with this COVID allocation doesn't mean that's the end of a lengthy discussion that we'll continue to have this session on funding for a variety of needs from the federal folks who are helping us get through this pandemic. The comments I'd like to share with you are really fairly abbreviated to tell you that this bill helps so many North Carolinians. This is a bill we all should feel good about, just like we felt good about our previous COVID bills that allocated much-needed funds to many families across our state. Now, we can always make some improvements, but let me point out how this helps members in your districts, kids in your schools, workers try to deal with the stresses of a daily life in a pandemic. This is amazing to even think about. What we're doing today is historic. It's record-breaking. We've never gone through this in our lifetime. We don't know exactly how to do it and how to do it right. We're doing the best we can with the cards we've been dealt. In the prior COVID bill that was passed just a few weeks ago with great bipartisan support, we allocated $2.2 billion to K-12 schools, to HHS for vaccines to be distributed, and new funds for rental assistance. Now let's turn to what this bill does for so many of our citizens. It touches again on the lives of most people across our state. Our farmers, those that are in dire need of help, $6 million for specialty block grants, farm stress program grants, and goodness to our fishermen who are also suffering during this difficult time. To transportation for enhanced mobility for services for citizens with disabilities. It helps our airports, provides funds for our food banks, funds for older Americans in congregate and home meal deliveries. HHS has provided funds to those in need for testing, tracing, and prevention. Yes, we still have needs for that. For child care block grants, Head Start, community mental health services, substance abuse prevention and treatment. All these desperately needed and needed now. Total new funds to HHS within this bill is approximately $1 billion. There's new funds for educational institution, higher education relief, approximately $290 million. Funds are provided for the governor to support education, over $125 million. Business owners, families in need, school kids, families who can't cover their rent, they can't feed their families, they can't get a ride for a vaccination. Now you're part of history, helping minority and women-owned businesses, children suffering from anxiety and stress. You're part of history, and you can make a difference in this bill, helping the lives of so many. What I ask you to do now is to support this bill. We need to get this bill out of this chamber so that these funds can start flowing across North Carolina. Make a difference. Be part of history. Make a difference. I'm sure there are things in this bill you may not like still. And I said when I started, we will be dealing with more COVID provisions and more COVID funds. As you watch Congress, they are working on another relief bill. We're going to have more opportunities to talk about these. We're going to have more opportunities to address some of the needs that we've heard. So while we're available to answer any questions, my encouragement to you is, let's pass this bill. The quicker we can do it, the faster these monies can go out, and we can get the families across our great state that need help, the help that they need. Thank you.
Representative Lambeth, the gentleman appears to have a couple of amendments. The chair is going to recognize the gentleman to send forth amendment AOU 7B2. The clerk will read.
Representative Lambeth moves to amend the bill on page 10, line 14, by inserting after activities the following sentence.
Colleagues, this
gentleman has supported by the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, this was in the agreed to provisions with the Senate. It does deal with staff bonuses. I would tell you that we are having discussions in our normal appropriations process about staff salary, staff bonuses, but this is not the bill for us to appropriate new funds from state operations for bonuses. We're trying to stick to the COVID funds in this bill. I can assure you we are having those discussions, and we will have that at some point with this body through our normal process. So I'm asking you to approve this amendment, which basically restates a section that inadvertently got removed yesterday when we were going through in the haste of amendments. They would just simply say that there are no bonuses allowed within the COVID funds or these funds.
For what purpose, lady from Wake, Representative Von Hafen Rice?
To speak on the amendment.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yesterday I was actually going to file an amendment to remove this language, and I was pleased to see in rules that it was taken out, and I'm disappointed to see that it's being added back in again. Our child care industry has been on the front lines of this pandemic since the very beginning. Our child care workers have been working day and night to care for our children throughout the pandemic, often putting themselves at risk because they don't have the proper PPE or cleaning supplies. They've been at risk to get the virus at work and bring it home to their families. Our child care workers are some of the most underpaid workers in the state. The average pay is $12 an hour, and that's even when 63% of our workers have college degrees. 1 out of 5 don't have health care. I really encourage you to not take the opportunity for DHHS to use these block grants for child care bonuses and hazard pay for these workers. They deserve to be supported by this body, and make sure that they know that they're essential and that they're valued by our state. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Is the adoption of Amendment A1. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. In the opinion of the chair, the ayes have it. The ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Representative Arp, recognize and forth amendment AMQ 12 V1. Corporal Reed.
Representative Arp moves to amend the bill on page 22, lines 40 through 47, by rewriting those lines to read.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As part of this bill, we appropriate monies for broadband. There's an additional $6 million that goes to there. This is clarifying language that basically says that this will go to the projects that have previously been submitted and ranked for awards as part of the special grant process. It's purely technical to clarify. The department has asked for this clarifying language and asked for your support.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question for the House. Is the adoption of Amendment A2. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. The amendment is adopted. Representative Lambeth, recognize, send forth Amendment AMQ 12, B2. Corporal Reed.
Representative Lambeth moves to amend the bill on page 9, line 27 to 28, by rewriting those lines to read.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This one's a correction. This morning we got a call from the housing folks. We had 3% in for administrative costs. They asked us to increase that. So this amendment simply raises the 3% that's in the bill to allow 5% for administrative costs at the request of that agency. So I recommend it for your approval.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House, adoption of Amendment A3. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The amendment's adopted. Representative Harris, recognize, send forth Amendment ALR RXFR3. Corporal Reed.
Representative Harris moves to amend the bill on page 23, lines 39 through 40.
The gentleman has the floor to debate the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This amendment deals with unemployment insurance, and pretty much all it does is it increases the maximum weekly payout to $500, and it also increases the maximum duration to 26 weeks, which I think during this pandemic, the people who are still out of work due to COVID need as much aid as possible, and I hope you would all support me in supporting this amendment. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not a question for the House. Adoption of amendment A4. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no.
No
have it. Amendment fails. Representative John, recognize, send forth amendment ALR 2 V5. Corporal Reed.
Representative John moves to amend the bill on page 23, lines 39 through 40, by inserting the following between those lines.
The Representative John Gemmel may want to, Gemmel may need to activate his light. I think he may have turned it off. Gentleman's recognized to debate the amendment, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Yes, sir.
As Chairman Lamoth indicated, this bill addresses many agencies, programs, individuals that have been affected by the pandemic and makes numerous generous appropriations in acknowledgement of that effect. Yet there are, in my review, a couple of notable omissions: our first responders, law enforcement, correctional officers on the one hand, and in certain respects, our educators and support personnel on the other, folks who've been on the front lines, dealing with the effects of the pandemic in multiple ways this past year, and who can truly be said to have in many ways kept our state going. This amendment appropriates in part one $50 million in hazard pay for law enforcement and correctional officers, in section 4.2, educator and support personnel, one-time lump sum bonuses, $2,500 for certified personnel, $1,500 for non-certified personnel, and in section 4.3, one-time lump sum bonuses for correct community colleges and UNC system employees. I recommend the amendment to you. I believe it is fundamentally fair and appropriate to recognize and assist the efforts of those that are covered by the amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question before the House, adoption of Amendment A5, sent forward by Representative John. Those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Noes have it. Amendment fails. Further discussion, further debate on the bill. Representative John, the gentleman's light still activates. The gentleman, okay. For what purpose, gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Harris, right?
Speak on the bill.
The gentleman has the floor.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill does a lot of good. It appropriates a lot of money to a lot of areas of our state that are in desperate need, but it doesn't go far enough. And everyone in this chamber and everyone listening needs to understand just how far we can and should be going. As an economist, I'm constantly skeptical when we talk about bills and talk about what we're capable of that are based solely on projections and speculations when dealing with what money we have available. And members of my party will tell you, I put a lot of effort into studying our revenue sources and how those sources are distributed. I've even gone so far as to caution members of my own party to be more realistic when we talk about how much we can spend. So you can call me a pessimist, dare I say conservative, when contemplating the spending capacity of this body. But as a pessimist, and all things considered, our state coffers are in good shape. Actually, they're in great shape. And I'm delighted that we're here today talking about how we can assist North Carolinians as we begin to round the corner and get out of this pandemic. But frankly, this bill does not go nearly far enough in addressing the top priorities that should exist when helping the great people of this state. This economic shock was nothing that we've ever seen before. And on that, I think we can all agree. This shock to our economy was out of necessity to protect the health and safety of all North Carolinians. And while you may not agree with our prioritization to protect our most vulnerable, it's also our position that this bill just merely skims the surface of what North Carolinians deserve from us today. Any bill related to COVID relief is also related to the underlying issue of how we're going to reopen our state and get back to normal. But it doesn't have to be a choice between providing aid and the health of our people or our economy. And the data is incontrovertible that this dimmer approach that we've had has saved lives. Deaths per capita in Georgia are 52% more than North Carolina, 55% more in South Carolina, and 56% more in Tennessee. And while I know everything has an economic cost, how much are we willing to place on a life? Especially given our financial situation right now, we do not have to choose. So again, I consider myself a pessimist, but today I'm an optimist. Optimistic that we are rounding this corner together. Our numbers are getting more positive every day, but now is the time. As Representative Lamoth said, now is the time to get the aid to those who are still struggling as much as possible. Just yesterday morning, I talked to fiscal staff about our financial situation, what we're capable of. Our unemployment trust fund sits at over $2.5 billion. It's stabilized. We made it through the worst part, and it's projected to grow as this year goes on. Our rainy day fund is actually going to be larger at the end of this fiscal year than it was last year. And we have an unreserved balance of over $4 billion. when in 2019, after passing no budget, we had a balance of $1.4 billion. In fact, today, we could literally spend $1 billion in non-recurring aid to shore up our schools, invest in our teachers, and give us the final boost we need to hit the ground running once everyone gets vaccinated. $1 billion, and we would still have more than double the unreserved balance that we had at the end of last year. And that's after accounting for what our budget may be this year. So we have to ask ourselves, are we comfortable going back to our districts, talking to small business owners who are in trouble, talking to the parents who have missed months of rent or their mortgage payments, and look them in the eyes and say, we cannot do more right now? Why wait? We owe it to our neighbors, and we owe it to our communities to take advantage of the financial situation that we're in. This is why we have a savings account. This is why we prepared for this. You don't brag about how big your savings account is when you're struggling to put food on the table. And I am not comfortable telling my neighbors and my communities that we cannot do more, because I know we can. I'm still going to vote for this bill because I want to remain optimistic that this is just the start. And when we come back next week, we're going to have another bill of giving money, hopefully state money, because we can afford it. And our citizens deserve that. And I urge my colleagues to vote for this bill. But we need to do more, and we need to do it now. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For what purpose, gentleman from Union, Representative R. Price?
Speak to the bill.
Gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Thank you. Colleagues, I urge you to pass this bill. This is a COVID spending bill. Without passing it, this money for rent relief, many that my colleague had mentioned here, will not be available if we do not accept this money. We're in a good position because of the previous reasonable spending and, quite frankly, living within our means. We have saved for the future, and those things, in essence, that we know will happen. Disasters. We had hurricanes and economic downturns, and we were told at that time, spend, spend, spend. Our first priority when we got into session is to appropriate this COVID money. The next thing is to reopen our state. The very thing that we passed and the governor vetoed. We must reopen our schools. We must reopen our state. We must get North Carolina back to normal. What's coming after this is the budget process. And we, because of good financial principles that we have put the position in, this North Carolina in, we will have a very good budget process to meet further needs. However, this bill is the COVID relief monies, and we must do this for the state. We must reopen our state, and we hope that this money does that, money for our schools, and we need to pass this. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? Not the question before the House, passage of House Bill 196 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. The majority leader, Representative Bell of Wayne County, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Larry Yarborough, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The House Minority Leader, Representative Reeves of Chatham County, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members will be voting aye. Representatives Alexander, Autry, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Fisher, Harrison, Hawkins, Lucas, Meyer, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 120 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 196 passes second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 196 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 196, having passed its third reading, is ordered engrossed and enrolled and sent to the Senate by a special messenger. House Bill 67, the clerk will read.
Representative Davis, House Bill 67, a bill to be entitled to make technical corrections to the general statutes and session laws as recommended by the General Statutes Commission, General Assembly of North Carolina.
Gentleman from New Hanover, Representative Davis, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I'm the House representative on the General Statutes Commission, and at the beginning of each term, we do a technical correction bill, which is purely technical in nature. That is House Bill 67, which is before you. This bill is recommended by the General Statutes Commission, contains corrections of a technical nature to the general statutes and session laws. Received a unanimous favorable report in GA1 committee. Also received a unanimous favorable report in rules, and I ask for your support. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, further debate? Not. The question for the House is the passage of House Bill 67 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf, and that is Representative Larry Yarborough, aye.
Representative Reeves of Chatham is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and the following representatives will be voting aye. Representatives Alexander, Autry, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Fisher, Harrison, Hawkins, Lucas, Meyer, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 120 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 67 passes second reading. Will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 67 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 67 having passed third reading is ordered sent to the Senate by a special messenger. House Bill 76, clerk will read.
Representatives Howard, Sane, Ray, and Zolka, House Bill 76, a bill to be entitled Modernized Debt Settlement Prohibition, General Assembly of North Carolina Acts.
The lady from Davie, Representative Howard, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and members of the House. I want to say, first of all, that this is an identical bill that we passed last year unanimously in this chamber. It also passed every committee unanimously and then went to the Senate where it passed every committee unanimously, and then we hit a little bit of a roadblock. But I think we've got rid of that roadblock this year, so I'm looking for us to do a better task over in the Senate. Many of you have heard the newspaper and radio ads late at night encouraging people to call this number because we can reduce your debt for less than what you owe. Unfortunately, it doesn't often turn out to be that way. Right now, with the COVID, particularly right now, a lot of people are in financial situations, and many of them are reaching out to some of these debt settlement companies. We have accredited counselors through the Banking Commission, but their fee is capped at $40 a month. These fees are not capped. What really matters now is that if we can pass this bill, it's going to keep the criminal penalty the same, but it moves the rule to the civil chapter of consumer protection, and it closes two big loopholes that allows these out-of-state companies to function in North Carolina. It will increase the authority of the Attorney General and allow many debtors to escape illegal contracts that they are currently in. I hope that many of you received email messages from AARP, from the Bankers Association, the North Carolina Residential Lenders, the Justice Center, and also the military. And that's unfortunately where they target, is the military. And many of these spouses are deployed, and the sole spouse is at home trying to deal with children and debt. We need to do this for our constituents. I'm sure that many of you got email messages from somebody in your district. That's one of a few people that might have had a successful experience. To the contrary, 99% of the people end up having to declare bankruptcy, losing their home, their cars, and their credit. So I ask you to please pass this bill, I hope unanimously, and we can send it over to a Senate with a strong message. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, question for the House is the passage of House Bill 76 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. The House Majority Leader, Representative Bell, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce the vote on their behalf. Representative Larry Yarborough, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The House Minority Leader, Representative Rees, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members will be voting aye. Representatives Alexander, Autry, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Fisher, Harrison, Hawkins, Lucas, Meyer, and Terry.
Clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 120 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 76 passes second reading and will be read a third time.
Just some not kind of next.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 76 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 76, having passed its third reading, order sent to the Senate by a special messenger. Members, on motion of the gentleman from Wayne County, Representative Bell, the chair is happy to extend the courtesies of the gallery to Amelia Meyer, who is the daughter of Angie Meyer, who is also here with us today. Would y'all please stand so we could welcome you? They're in the back of the chamber there. Thanks for being with us today, Amelia. Also on the floor with us today, the chair is going to extend the courtesies of the floor, of course, to former member Representative Haynes, who is here with us on the floor today. Representative Haynes, please stand so we can welcome you. In the gallery, excuse me. Thank you very much. House Bill 137, the clerk will read.
Representatives Dixon, Brisson, Bell, and Elmore, House Bill 137, a bill to be entitled an act to dedicate the Agricultural Science Center for the Department of Agriculture and Consumer Services to Steve Chocolate Agricultural Science Center. Gentlemen from North Carolina, next.
Gentlemen from Duplin, Representative Dixon, recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, Steve Troxler has served as Commissioner of Agriculture in North Carolina since 2005 and is currently serving in his fifth term. At the end of this term, he will have served as Commissioner of Agriculture for 20 years. When he was elected, I had been an active farmer as an adult for over 40 years. I was reared by my grandmother on a small tobacco and vegetable farm in Duplin County. Farming has been a way of life for me all of my life. Thus, I think I am somewhat qualified to assess and put in proper perspective Commissioner Troxler's performance and accomplishments during the last 16 years. There have been many good men and women who have well served North Carolina and the larger agriculture community. However, in totality of effort and accomplishments, it has been my observation that he is without equal during my lifetime. I'm confident that the accurate and objective history of North Carolina agriculture to be written as all history is in a future day will confirm my observations. A few weeks ago, while driving home one evening, a clear impression came both to my mind and my heart that this proposed bill that is now before us would be both proper and well-deserved and will represent the gratitude of this General Assembly that represents all the citizens of our great state in recognition and appreciation for the faithful and dedicated service of Steve Troxler. I am confident, and I have personally witnessed, that Commissioner Troxler has been and will be the first to give credit for his success to all the dedicated employees of the North Carolina Department of Agriculture. He has championed many excellent programs and activities that have improved the lives of our family farmers and the related agribusiness community that have helped us to feed ourselves and many others over this country and over the world with good, safe, reliable, and economically affordable food. The capstone of all his efforts may well be his support for this new Agriculture Sciences Center. Assistant Commissioner Joe Reardon describes this center as the best and most modern in the world. We encourage you to inform yourselves about the particulars of this magnificent facility. All our lives will be better because of the quality work that will be done in this center for the next 50 years. Please join Representatives Brisson, Bell, and Elmore and myself as we honor Steve Troxler for his excellent service as North Carolina's Commissioner of Agriculture. Thank you.
Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 137 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. Clerk will open the vote. House Majority Leader, Representative Bell, recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Larry Yarborough, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following representatives will be voting aye. Representatives Alexander, Autry, Belk, Brockman, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Fisher, Harrison, Hawkins, Lucas, Meyer, and Terry.
The clerk will lock the machine, record the vote. 120 having voted in the affirmative, none in the negative. House Bill 137 passes second reading and will be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina in act.
Question for the House. Passage of House Bill 137 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. House Bill 137 having passed third reading. Order sent to the Senate by a special messenger. House Bill 118. Clerk will read.
Representatives Willis, Ark, and Brody, House Bill 118, a bill to be entitled an act to permit increased access to outdoor sporting facilities in public and non-public high school in certain counties. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Union, Representative Willis, recognize debate the bill.
HB 118 is a local bill that will
allow the local LEAs to determine what's appropriate in terms of capacity for high school sports at their local stadiums. We ask that the students who have been there, the parents who have been struggling through this pandemic over the last year, be allowed to participate, have their families, their friends, their loved ones come and watch them. The LEAs have asked us to give them flexibility in their decision-making on the local level and allow them to increase the capacity up to 50%. We ask for your support for this local bill.
For what purpose, gentlemen from Mecklenburg, Representative Lofton, rise.
For a point of order.
The gentleman may state his point of order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It appears that House Bill 118, because it's a local bill that concerns health, appears to violate our state constitution, specifically Section 24 of Article 2, which states that local bills shall not relate to health, and if they do, that they are void. Thank you.
We'll stand at ease momentarily. There's a when it's raised on a point of order on a constitutional matter, there's a certain provision we're looking at. So. Representative Lofton, in consultation with the rules on this, the way this is done, ultimately, if a bill is not constitutional, it's probably not any of us in this room that determine that. And so as the chair, I don't have to rule necessarily whether it's constitutional or not. If the way that if a member felt like the bill wasn't constitutional, would be simply just to vote no on the bill. That appears to be what's contemplated in the rules. It does comply with our rules of the House in terms of the form of the bill, the subject matter, and what it's before. But that is that's in looking at the rules and checking that. But the gentleman's recognized for further purpose.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just related to that point, I guess it was my understanding under Section 517 of Mason's that if a bill does violate our Constitution, it is not in order.
Could you restate that provision?
517.
Representative Lofton, I'll come back and deal with the gentleman's point of order in a moment because I think there's another provision that actually applies. The clerk over here, I'm really impressed. He has forgotten more about Masons that Representative Martin always likes to talk about than I'll ever know. So I believe there's another provision that actually supports the decision of the chair. But as a fellow attorney, I'll glad to have the back and forth, but we'll go look at that and get back to you. But in the interest of... Okay, Representative Lofton, I think I can address this pretty easily. Section 517, which is the section of Masons that the gentleman's referring to, is not in conflict with our state constitution. And in fact, the statute under which the governor is exercising his authority is actually a statute, the Emergency Powers Act, which is a creature of the state legislature and not a constitutional provision. So based upon that, appreciate the gentleman's point of order, but the gentleman's point is denied. Any further discussion or debate on the bill? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 118 on its second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Majority Leader, Representative Bell, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Larry Yarborough, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Reeves, House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Mr. Speaker, if we could get about 5 more minutes, we're waiting on a couple of votes to come in.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
And members, just while we're in a vote, so I can't take any action, but the chair does intend once there's another bill that's a public bill on the same topic Representative Hall has, we'll go ahead and take it up next. Same similar subject matter, but a statewide bill.
Mr. Speaker, it's your pleasure. We're ready to announce.
Representative Reeves is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members will be entering votes of no. Representatives Alexander, Autry, Belk, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Fisher, Harrison, Hawkins, Lucas, Meyer, and Terry. And one abstention will be Representative Brotman.
We don't technically have abstention, so he has a choice, either a no vote or an excused absence. Any idea what the preference might be?
It was worth a try. We'll try a no vote.
It was what? just not being recorded as a vote.
He will not be a vote, yes.
Okay, thank you. All right. I tell you, I see all the lawyers are missing court over there ready to do this. Clerk will lock the machine and record the vote. 74 having voted in the affirmative and 45 in the negative. House Bill 118 passes its second reading. Will be read a third time.
Joseph Smith, no climbing next.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 118 on its third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
The ayes have it. House Bill 118, having passed its third reading, will be sent to the Senate by a special messenger. Members, House Bill 128, Chair directs, will be added to today's calendar. And before the clerk reads it, that bill also came out of the Rules Committee today. It deals with the same subject matter we just did for Union County, but is the statewide. And the chair thought that the session may have gone a little longer today, and so in order to keep session a little shorter tomorrow, that seems to make sense to take care of this bill today. So with that, clerk will read.
Representative Kyle Hall, Elmore, Duane Hall, and Willis, House Bill 128, a bill to be entitled Increased Access to Sporting Venues in Schools. General Assembly of North Carolina enacts.
Gentleman from Stokes, Representative Hall, is recognized to debate the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Let me first thank my fellow primary sponsors, Representative Jeffrey Elmore, Representative David Willis, and of course my brother on the front row, Dustin Hall. This is a common sense bill that will ensure families can safely attend and watch their loved ones play at K-12 and higher education sporting events. Specifically, House Bill 128 will set seating capacity at 30% for both indoor and outdoor sporting events, while also providing local flexibility to increase capacity up to 50%. And the bill before you also includes commencement and graduation ceremonies, which are quickly approaching. We've all heard the complaints from families across the state who've been unable to watch their child or loved one play due to the governor's stadium restrictions. While the governor modified his order last week to allow 30% capacity for outdoor venues and 15% for indoor sporting events, this is still unnecessarily low and over-restrictive. It simply does not make sense that restaurants, gyms, pools, museums, and amusement parks can open at 50% capacity, yet outdoor sporting events are restricted to 30% and indoor venues to 15%. With high school football kicking off last week, this is an issue of major concern for countless families and communities across North Carolina. Unfortunately, these arbitrary limits are not based in science and only punish our athletes and their families. For this reason, I ask for your support for this common sense bill to ensure families have the opportunity to safely attend and support their loved ones and their teams. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
What purpose is the gentleman from Cumberland? Representative Richardson, rise.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, to ask the bill sponsor a question.
Representative Halls, the gentleman yield to a question from Representative Richardson.
I yield.
He yields.
Thank you for taking my question. I'm really sincere about this. I'm not trying to play a lawyer's trick. We just passed a local bill that says Union County can have the attendance of a certain number of people at the events. Is that correct?
That is my understanding. It's not my bill, though.
Follow up.
Gentleman yield? He yields.
Yeah, I yield.
Okay, your bill is a statewide bill setting limits on attendance or what people can go to at sporting events statewide to statewide schools. It's a statewide bill.
Yes.
Okay. Inquiry to the chair. The
gentleman may state his inquiry to the chair.
If we pass this bill and we just pass the local bill for Union County, Which bill controls Union County?
The way the bill would work is if there is a bill that is specific to a county, I'd have to look at the language, but I think if there's a bill specific to a county that would make it different than what is the otherwise statewide law, then I think the county bill would apply over that. But again, this is definitely lawyer's day today. The gentleman has the floor to debate the bill.
Members, I think the reason why there was some worry or concern about the local bill was just this, and why our Constitution has that provision in there about making certain that a local bill doesn't conflict with a statewide bill. And I think the better way of going about what is intended to be done here is with this bill. I think this is a much better bill, and I think it follows the lines of our Constitution much better. I think we need to revisit that Union County bill, not because I'm against Union County. I certainly understand as a parent I want attendance at these events. I think it's vitally important, but I think this is a better route to go, and I'd hope we clear this up because I have a feeling our courts are going to be seeing this before it's over with. Thank you.
For what purpose the lady from White, Representative Dahl, rise? The light was on. Okay. All right, good to see you. Further discussion, further debate? If not, the question for the House is the passage of House Bill 128 on second reading. Those in favor will vote aye. Those opposed will vote no. The clerk will open the vote. Representative Bell, the House Majority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Republican members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The following members have officially designated me to announce a vote on their behalf. Representative Larry Yarborough, aye. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Reeves, the House Minority Leader, is recognized to announce the proxy votes of the Democratic members.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And the following members will be entering votes of no. Representatives Alexander, Autry, Belk, Butler, Carney, Cunningham, Everett, Fisher, Harrison, Hawkins, Lucas, Meyer, and Terry. And Representative Brockman, we do not have a vote to record for.
And so do Representative Willis, the gentleman wish to vote on the vote, vote on the bill? Representative Reeves, the gentleman wish to vote on this one? Representative Dawes, the lady wish to vote on the bill?
I could vote, thank you.
Clerk light machine record the vote. 77 having voted in the affirmative, 42 in the negative. House Bill 128 passed the second reading. We'll be read a third time.
General Assembly of North Carolina, Max.
Question for the House is the passage of House Bill 128 on third reading. Those in favor will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Ayes have it. House Bill 128 having passed third reading, ordered sent to the Senate by special messenger. Representative Lofton, and this is for the benefit of the body, there was the chair would also point I'm really impressed with our clerk who knows has a very vast knowledge of Masons, pointed out two other provisions that would basically make raising the constitutionality of a bill as a point of order not a way to deal with it. And I would point to section 232, paragraph 2. Ultimately, it's left to the body to decide in the sense of how the body votes on the bill. And then also on number 4 and number 2 within that. And so those are those would be the provisions that apply. And so it's basically calling for the presiding officer to make a decision like a judge would, I suppose, I'm not wearing a black robe, so that goes beyond the scope of what I'm doing. So that's part of it. But I do appreciate it. I think these kinds of points are actually kind of helpful to have a discussion, debate, and particularly for the new members. You know, and for those who are watching or listening, we of course have our House rules, which is this document, the temporary rules, but then we have what's called Mason's Rules of Procedure, which is, that's the new book. Clerk gave me the old book, but there's this is the new book, of course. And so these have a lot of rules that govern, but sort of the way we do it is of course, the Constitution, statute, rules, custom or precedent, and then Mason's is the order that we refer to these. So please know anytime members want to raise a point of order, the chair certainly isn't bothered by that and appreciates it, thinks it's a chance for not only us, but also members of the public to understand the way we do business in the light of day with rules and open recorded votes. So anyway, appreciate the opportunity to have the discussion, Representative Lofton. We'll stand at ease momentarily. Members, we have concluded the business of the day. Just to give the members an idea of the order of business for tomorrow, there are a number of bills that are in committee to be considered tomorrow, and as those are reported out and appear to be proceeding along fine, they will go to the Rules Committee, and the Rules Committee will take them up, and then we'll take them up tomorrow. There are also a number of bills that were heard in committee today that were not added to today's calendar. We're going to come in at 10 a.m. for a no-vote session. Again, there will be no votes at 10 a.m., and the House will be in recess until 11:30. There's committee meetings at 8:30. There's a committee meeting at 10. There's several There's several committee meetings, and then the Rules Committee is going to meet, I believe, at 11 a.m. And so they'll run just the, you know, the bills after they've gone through their policy committee. We'll then come back and go through the Rules Committee for the final review there, and then we'll get reported out. So whatever comes through rules very well may be taken up at the 11:30 session. What I would say to Representative Reeves, Representative Bell, to the Majority and Minority Leader, or any members, frankly, if any members see something that comes through and they need additional time, just let the chair know, and we can probably accommodate that. But the plan is this: to dispose of the recorded votes tomorrow, have that, and I would see no need for us to have any recorded votes on Monday. So that'll obviate that. So I think that may be beneficial to all concerned, and will allow us to get committees done tomorrow, have good attendance, and then also take care of business. So with that, we'll go to notices and announcements. For what purpose does the lady from Wake, Representative Ball, rise?
Inquiry of the chair.
Please recognize.
You didn't note whether or not we'd have any votes on Friday.
I hope not. I don't plan on being here Friday. I'll say that. No, there's no votes Friday.
That's good to hear. Thank you.
That and the lady raised the question. Again, this is more for the public and for the new members. We generally try not to have Friday sessions at this time so that members can have an opportunity to be back in their districts. And really, the schedule doesn't require it right now. But I can promise you that as we move on in session, there will be times when we have to be here Fridays and Saturdays. But you have a ways out for that. For what purpose does the lady from Randolph, Representative Hurley, rise?
For an announcement, please.
Lady has the floor.
Thank you. The Education Committee on Community Colleges will meet tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock and 6:43. We have one bill, House Bill 81, In-State Tuition Pilot Program. Please be prompt. Thank you.
What purpose does the lady from Johnson, Representative White, rise?
To make an announcement.
Lady has the floor.
The Joint Appropriations Committee on Health and Human Services will meet tomorrow at 8:30 in 421 LOB. And this will be a planning meeting and presentation from Dr. Cohen.
What purpose does the gentleman from Mecklenburg, Representative Bradford, rise?
For an announcement.
The gentleman has the floor.
We'll have a finance committee meeting at 8:30 in room 643. We'll have a few bills to consider and a discussion-only bill. Thank you.
What purpose does the gentleman from Union, Representative Brody, rise?
For an announcement and an inquiry of the chair afterwards, please.
Gentleman is recognized for the announcement. Then the gentleman may state his inquiry.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members, we have the meeting of the Land Use Planning and Development Committee at 11 o'clock tomorrow. We have two bills to discuss. I also have set aside time for a speaker who's going to speak on the subject of sovereign immunity, professional immunity, and general immunity. It's important that those, at least the committee members, what we invite everybody if they want to learn about this subject, is to come, because we got a number of bills that are going to be addressing some of that issue. So it's a really interesting really interesting subject. Also, I wanted to ask to inquire the chair. We do have a meeting at 11 o'clock. You think maybe we could possibly, if these bills pass, we could have enough time to get those into rules and then on the floor tomorrow?
We may be adjusting tomorrow's voting session schedule based off of some information from the Senate. So what time is the gentleman's committee meeting?
It's at 11 o'clock. It's actually the same time as community college.
I believe we can accommodate that, and there may be, perhaps I was being, Representative Harris, maybe I was being overly optimistic today, to think that we could have session at 11:30 tomorrow. We may have to take up session at 1:30 tomorrow to allow for something back from the Senate. So, but we'll see where that is. We'll still come in at 10, and we'll try to come in before noon. What I will do, and for those who were maybe not able to hear what Representative Brady was asking. His committee has some bills they're going to take up. Assuming those bills pass out of the committee, they would go to the Rules Committee. And so the Rules Committee is scheduled to meet at the same time, so the Rules Committee would only be able to receive those bills probably about 11:30. With that being the case, more than likely, session would be delayed not until 11:30, but probably till 1 o'clock. So members stay posted on that. And also, again, would encourage members, those bills that are being taken up in the committee have been properly noticed. I believe those are on the calendar, their website. Representative Brody, you don't know of any other bills that you're adding to that calendar, do you?
I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker. The two bills have been noticed, they're on our calendar, yes.
So Chair's not intending to add any additional bills to that calendar, is that correct?
Oh, you're correct.
Okay, so members, those who have an interest in that bill, that bill is there, and of course, members of the public as well. Those bills are online. There's links to them, and so those will be taken up in committee tomorrow morning, and then it is the intention of the chair that we would take those up in our session in the afternoon tomorrow. So any members having an interest in those bills are encouraged to take these many hours at this time to review those. For what purpose does the gentleman from Hertford, Representative Hunter, rise?
A point of personal privilege.
The gentleman is recognized.
Colleagues, Mr. Speaker, after 51 years, my son blessed me Sunday at 1:38 a.m. with my first granddaughter.
Congratulations, Al.
The good thing is I can pronounce and spell her first name, Jade Hunter.
Say the name again.
Jade, J-A-D-E.
Well, congratulations. And I know your father, if he were still here, would be especially thrilled as well. So thank you, Representative Hunter. Congratulations. Any further notices or announcements? So, Chair's going to go ahead and we're just going to go ahead and lock this down. Tomorrow morning session at 10 will be a no vote session. The recorded votes will be in session at 1 o'clock. The Chair is not aware of anything that would be where the proxy votes couldn't be done either, so should be okay there. President Ball, the lady have anything further? Okay, all right. Further notices or announcements? If not, and seeing none, the gentleman from Caldwell, Representative Hall, recognized for motion.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 4th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1.
Representative Hall moves, seconded by Representative Brendan Jones, that the House do now adjourn to reconvene Thursday, March 4th at 10 a.m., subject to the standard stipulation set forth in Rule 15.1. Those in favor will say aye. Those opposed, no. The ayes have it. The House stands adjourned.